Jim Houston of the NHL and Sportsnet joins us. You certainly can't blame the Lightning goaltending. Pittsburgh was the better team in terms of shots on goal and chances, but it took till overtime. Are you at all surprised, Huey, that Tampa, in spite of the absences that they have, right, is as effective as they have been in these playoffs? Because they have really been good.
Not really, because I think we've sold them short a little bit all along.
Really?
Largely because of what happened during the regular season. You know, they had they were hurt to start the season. Tyler Johnson was out. The different very effective players were gone for long periods of time all season. They had a 9-game winning streak in January, a 7-game winning streak in February that saved them and got them into the playoffs. But they were a really disjointed team. And when I watched them, I thought, when they get back together, if they can get healthy, they'll be fine. And then, of course, at the end, they lose Strawman and Stamkos. But there's a couple of things that I've watched them for a while here that really occur to me is that they're a really good team. John Cooper is a team builder. More than he is a coach, he's a team builder. And that's really effective. Team always trumps the individual. Plus, their players have grown up and they got that experience in the playoffs last year. They know how to play in the playoffs and they look like good playoff players. Now, having said that, I didn't think they were very good last night. But their goaltender, you don't have to apologize for having a good goaltender. No. And this kid was really good. So, no. Long answer to your short question is no, I'm not really surprised that they're here. And I think some people will be surprised how difficult this series will be for Pittsburgh, because coming out of that Pittsburgh-Washington series, I sensed that everybody thought that Pitt was going to steamroll them.
Well, I think that even more than just the Washington series, the momentum the Penguins have created, you talked about Tampa winning the 9 games in January and the 7 in March. I mean, Pittsburgh's been doing it so well since the turn of the year. Their depth, and I shudder to call it the third line, but Bonino's line has been so good for a long period of time as well that really they had to be made the favorites, don't you think, Jim?
Well, I guess. I mean, I still think that Tampa's a really good team, so I'm not quite willing to say that Pittsburgh is. I'm not even sure that they're going to win this series. Because I got a feeling that at some point Stamkos may enter this series. Strawman is back. I think Bishop could play as early as tomorrow night.
Wow.
And they're a pretty even group. Now, I agree with what you said. The Bonino line has been excellent. What they're getting is incredible mileage out of Matt Cullen, Eric Fair, and Tom Kunackle as a fourth line. They gave Victor Hedman fits last night, and they were really good and have been through the playoffs, and Matt Murray, their young goaltender, shows no signs of wavering. But if you look back to, say, Christmas time on, when Pittsburgh was maybe the best team in the league, right there with them all the way was Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They had very similar second halves, and Tampa got healthier as it went on. So I really think it's game on now. And I've seen what happened last night. I've seen a million times where a team wins the first game on the road and then looks a little more relaxed than they should be in game two.
Now, if you look at the event summary of last night's game, the one thing that jumps out at me is the line for Evgeny Malkin, where literally just two shots on goal. He carried the puck well a couple of times, but now that Sidney's got his goalless drought done, I think, or do you expect that a lot of people are going to turn and say, hey, when's Malkin going to turn his game around too?
Oh, without question. Now, it takes a little bit of the pressure off because they won the game.
Right.
But here's the problem that I see, John and Bob, is that in an effort to sort of spread things out, and it worked beautifully for the back half of the season, Mike Sullivan called up these young guys from Wilkes-Barre Scranton in the American Hockey League, and he had Connor Sheary and Brian Rust and Tom Kunackle. And because these guys came along and they made the Carl Hagelin trade, they were able to have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Phil Kessel playing on three different lines. And it's some real depth there that causes some problems for teams that don't have any depth on defense. What I'm seeing now is, as we get into the third round of the playoffs, that some of the young guys, like Connor Sheary, who didn't get on the ice in the third period last night, looks a little overwhelmed by what's going on here every second night, and the games get to be of a higher caliber and a faster pace and more difficult to play in. Rust was pretty good last night. He hasn't fallen by the wayside yet. But the point is that there's not enough line mates to go around, and he's trying to find them in a big way. Hagelin played a lot of the second half of the game last night with Malkin to try and it wasn't to get Hagelin going. It was to try and get Malkin going. And the old standby, Chris Kunitz, went back with Crosby, and Sheary hit the bench. So they're going to have to be a lot more creative, and we're going to I think we're going to see a lot more of Crosby and Malkin playing together.
How hurt do you think Malkin is? Because we all know he's hurt, but how serious is the injury?
You could never find out anything like that at this time of year. It's just it's really impossible to know. It doesn't look too bad. I mean, he's had some really good games.
Well, it's not. We know it's his arm. We know it's not his legs. I mean, he can still skate.
Yeah, and you know what? He looks like he can shoot the puck. I don't see an awful lot there. It doesn't make me think that he's limping around or that he's. That he's really seriously hurt. But again, I mean, you would have to camp out and hide out in the dressing room and stay after hours to infiltrate and find out what's going on there. I do know this, that it doesn't seem like Ben Bishop is injured very badly, and that is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. You guys must have seen him writhing on the ice in pain.
Yeah, I know. We heard about it. Yeah.
Stretcher.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, yesterday at the rink in Pittsburgh, if it hadn't been for a fact that there were a few media guys around, he would have joined in the soccer game in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to cast aspersions on the guy, but he does have a reputation of being soft, you know.
I'm not going to suggest for a second that he wasn't hurt, and I think he was very scared by what happened. He certainly felt something, but it's really good. He's a really good goaltender, so it's great for the Lightning if he's coming back, and I think it's going to be pretty soon.
But goaltending was the least of their problems, though, yesterday.
He's a bit of a hypochondriac.
Yeah, Vasilevsky's good, but I think given a choice, you'd rather have Bishop back in there.
Sure.
So, here's the technical stuff. Home ice advantage still sits with Tampa. Pittsburgh did outshoot Tampa 41-21 in the game. Pretty dominant, and they outhit the Lightning 47-36, which is maybe even more unexpected. Is Pittsburgh taken control of this series by the way they played in Game 2, or does none of this mean anything?
I think they just did what they had to do. They had to be a more intense team. I thought that they looked like they were a little hungover from the last series when they played Game 1, and as Heel said, exhaled a little bit. And in Game 2, they knew what was facing them, that if they lost the game last night, they are faced with the prospect of beating the Tampa Bay Lightning 4 times in 5 games, and that was not going to happen. I just don't think that was going to happen at all. And they knew it, so they got fired up and went after it last night. And by the third period, they really took over the game. And I think Tampa relaxed a little bit. Now we got a series. And I think it's a real even series. And Pittsburgh had to win that game, and they did. And that's why they're where they are. That's why they get through 3 or 2 rounds and into the third round, because they have the ability to do that. And their big boys, primarily Crosby, led the way. He was real good by the end of the game last night.
Craig had some really good replays last night about how well Chris Letang was working and hustling. I thought,
yeah.
And when you think of now Letang and Hedman as being dominant forces for their team, that creates another dimension and level of personality for these teams.
It's neat to watch, because I think they're similar in that they're not even close to the same size, but they're similar in their influence on the game. Like, pretty much everything that happens with Tampa goes through Hedman, because he's on the power play. He plays the matchup game against the top lines. He kills penalties. And the same can be said for Letang. They control so much of the game, and they both play half of it. Mm-hmm. And now it's 1-1. And I thought that the best player on the ice in Game 1 was Hedman, and the best player on the ice in Game 2 was Letang. And if you just want to narrow it down to the defensemen, they each had their game. And that's going to be a terrific thing to watch through the rest of this series, because they're awesome in that way. And it's just so different, because Hedman's has just got this great reach, and he's a wonderful skater. And Letang's a wonderful skater, and he's a dirty little SOB, too. he plays the game with a real edge, and I love that. So it's that's the game within the game that's real fun to watch.
It is interesting that we spend a lot of time come playoff time talking about defensemen. And the team that has the great defenseman or the best defenseman usually somehow is favored. And you almost have to have a great defenseman in order to win the Stanley Cup. Everybody talks about goaltending, or you got to have good centers, or you got to have this, you got to have that. But there's always that one really, really good or great defenseman on almost all teams. When are defensemen going to start to get paid like the best players on the ice or the most important players on the ice?
Well, I guess when one of them can be Bobby Orr and win the scoring race. They're not doing too badly, but I agree with you. You just don't win without it. Look what happened to Washington. I thought they were a pretty complete team, and then when I watched them in the playoffs, I found that they weren't, that they were too thin on their defense. Mm-hmm. You need the one guy who can play 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You need to be a little deeper than that, too. But the guy who plays 30 minutes should be one of the best played guys in the game. And I guess for the most part, they're all paid pretty well, but they're just not getting what Kane and Taves are getting at $12 million or what Stamkos wants.
Yeah.
They're getting $7 and $8 million. It's still not bad, but And one of the differences in this series is that I think Tampa has got a few more of those influential defensemen.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. I'll ask both of you.
Yeah.
You can have one. You can have a Taves, or you can have a Doughty. You know, you can have a great scoring forward, or you can have a 30 minute in the playoff defenseman. Who do you want?
Respectfully, Bob.
Well, I'm not going to win if I don't have both.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a difficult one to answer. I think I'd take the defenseman to start, but you have to add the other guy.
If you asked me if I wanted Kane or Doughty, I would take Doughty. If you said Taves or Doughty, I'm leaning towards Taves. I like that number one center that can do absolutely everything for me.
Okay,
really. Yeah. So if you got a scoring winger, that's different.
If you said Crosby or Letang,
I'd probably take
Crosby.
Yeah.
But if you said Hedman or Tyler Johnson,
I'm taking Hedman. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's the old adage of, you know, up the middle. You and both of those guys aren't going to be any good if you don't have a great goaltender.
Well,
you need the goaltender, the big defenseman.
Oh, now see, now we're
center,
yeah, but
and then you can build around it.
Yeah.
That's the problem with you hockey people. It's like you need one of these, one of those, one of those.
Well, that's because it's not like basketball. You don't play 48 minutes.
I'm trying to say is which is the most important guy. You know, and if you think it's the center or the forward, then fine.
Well, if every
then that's who you should pay the most money to. That's who gets the most money right now.
If every player
almost exclusively.
If every player was available in the expansion draft next year or the year after, every player, I'm taking a centerman before I'm taking a defenseman.
Well, I mean, you talk about goaltenders, and we all know goaltending is critical. How many goaltenders make $10 million a year?
None.
Why?
Because they can stop the puck. No, but look, Brian Elliott's not making, what is he making? Is he making $3 million? He's not.
No, in fact, the four goaltenders who are left, if you take Bishop out of the mix last night,
yeah, I know.
Aren't making very much at all.
Yeah.
But so the reason that the centerman and the forward gets all the dough is because he gets the points. Yeah. And the game, you still
it's
have
glamorous,
to, score
but...
to win a hockey game.
Yeah, you only have to score one, though. I mean, in theory.
No, sort of that way right now. I'd like to think you have to score two or three. The value of the defenseman is that he can be on the ice all the time. The good defenseman can play 30 minutes. And that's so valuable to have a guy like that.
Has this series reached the intensity of the Cap series for Pittsburgh yet?
Nah, not yet.
Not yet. Different kind of teams, though, too. I thought the great what happened to the Washington Capitals and their downfall was it looked to me like they looked a little too far ahead and built their team to beat or play with the big boys in the West. And they forgot that they had to get through the East.
To get
and they
there.
ran into a buzzsaw that was faster than they were.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that they could play the game every way, but they couldn't. They weren't as good on defense as they thought, and they couldn't match Pittsburgh's speed. But they wanted to smash them around, and there was some violent hits. I'm seeing that a lot in the playoffs right now too. Even in the games that aren't, you know, there's not so much checking anymore as there is hitting.
Yeah, it's not a contact sport anymore. It's a collision sport.
Boy, is it ever! And they're going so fast, and they don't seem to have much regard for each other. But this one, I'm not sure if it will. I think it'll be a terrific series to watch because they both play the same way. They're both so fast, and it really does get to be a track meet at times. I don't think it will get to that level of, it'll get to the intensity, but it won't get to the level of physical violence that it did in the Washington series when they were just running at each other.
Before we let you go, give us your 2 cents on the Sharks and the Blues. You still, I think most people still expect a long, tough series. You do?
Yeah, I do. I think that I like them both, and I think that the Sharks will be better tonight. It wouldn't surprise me if that one goes back as a split. It's a really interesting goaltending series because I've been waiting all through the playoffs for Brian Elliott to fail, and he hasn't done it. And when he did have waver a little bit, he bounced back. And Martin Jones is so new at the game. But it's I have trouble finding an edge in that series. Very similar to my feeling about Pittsburgh and Tampa. It could be long, and I do believe that one will be it's a little bit more of a big body series, and maybe not quite as fast as the one in the East, but just as competitive.
So here's a question: for years going into the playoffs, well, going into the season, you know, the power is in the West. Whoever comes out of the West will be the favorite in the Stanley Cup final. Almost doesn't matter who comes out of the East. With what you have left now, is the West survivor automatically the favorite over the East survivor, given who's left? I don't think so either. Do you, John?
No, I don't. I think it's a pick'em. I really do. I think it's a pick'em.
I do too.
I think it's a pick'em.
And it's a little bit different style. I'm not suggesting that St. Louis or San Jose aren't teams that can skate, because they all can now. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a degree of speed. But these two in the East right now are incredibly fast. They own the neutral zone. They drive defensemen back. It's just so quick. And it's a little bit different game still in the West. And I'll be really interested to see if St. Louis or San Jose, the team that wins that Western Series, has the same problem that Washington had in the last one, that they just can't quite handle the speed of the teams in the East.
Jimmy, we'll let you go. We thank you as always. Enjoy the action tonight. Good call later in the week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
All right. Bob, John, see you later. Thanks.